Morning. Glad to be back. I'm Jack. God meet you. Yeah. Last couple weeks we were on level 2 snow emergency, and so we had evening services the first week, but it continued the second week. So if it wasn't for midweek service, we wouldn't even be acquainted with each other. Glad to have you with us. If you have a Bible, I want you to join us. We're in Colossians 1. All the little letters are between Romans and Corinthians and Hebrews. Okay, right before you get to all the T's, all the book begins with T's right before Hebrews. And the last one of those little ones is Colossians. This is the only church that Paul writes a letter to that he didn't visit. And so that's a good thing for us, because he didn't visit them, he put stuff in his letter that would have normally been in his preaching to those congregations. And so we've got the whole magnificent Christ thing in verses 15 through 21, but here we have some, I guess, foundational teaching about hope. Everybody wants hope. Well, you know, when we were kids, I know that's a long time ago, but when we were kids, they had this big Sears and Roebuck catalog. It was about that big. And you'd go through there, and for all the, from Thanksgiving on, because you couldn't put up Christmas decorations till after Thanksgiving, but from Thanksgiving on, everybody had that Sears and Roebuck catalog looking for what they wanted. Oh, I want this tank, I want this truck, I want this, you know, I'm going to get sweaters from Aunt Martha, but I want this, you know, okay, but you had a hope for what you were going to receive, and you look forward because of the hope that you had. Well, I talked to the kids this morning. The one thing we hope for above all else is the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, okay? It's going to happen. He's going to take us home to be with him in glory. That's what we look forward to the most, right? That's going to happen. And it could happen this morning. He doesn't have to wait till this afternoon. He can wait another 1,000 years if he wants to, but he's in charge. And but we know it's going to happen because the Bible tells us it's going to happen, and that's what we hope for. Well, hope isn't just by itself. We talked about, I guess 3 weeks ago now, in 1 Peter 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." The hope we have can't even be explained. It's beyond explanation. How do you describe an indescribable hope? You don't do it with words. You have to do it with your life. And so we're going to talk today about two of the things that grow out of hope. In other words, hope doesn't just exist by itself. Hope produces something. And so let's read. If you're with us now in Colossians 1, we're going to start in verse 3. He says here, in verses 3, let's read. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." And so we're just going to start into verse 5 there. Okay, we give thanks for the faith that grows out of hope. Faith grows out of hope? Well, I thought faith, you know, it tells me in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Yeah, well, a lot of people can hear the Word of God and not have any faith. If you really want to have faith from the Word of God, faith is produced by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith is believing the person who tells you. If I tell you something and you believe it, that's just faith in Jack. Okay? You can't go to heaven and say, "God, I do what Jack says. Can I get in?" That won't work for you. Okay? So if you want to have faith in God, it has to come from God's Word. But unless it's mingled with hope, it's not going to happen. He says here that faith comes from hope. See, if you really believe something's going to happen, if you really believe you're just going to come back, then it's easier to believe in him. If you hope for him coming back, then it's easier to believe in Jesus. We're going to look at a verse here now over in Titus. Now, like I said, all the T's are right after Colossians, okay? And the last one of the T's before you get to Hebrews is Titus. Paul left Titus in Crete to complete the work that he had that needed to be finished there, including appointing elders in each of those cities. Well, in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it tells us the event that defines hope and produces faith. He says here, he says, we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the great, of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope has is something that happens. Our hope isn't just some ethereal concept, man. I hope I hit the lottery. I hope what? No. There's something specific, something tangible. And that tangible object of our hope is the real return of Jesus Christ. Jesus returning, that event, that is our hope. That's the substance of our hope. And from that substance is what faith grows from. In other words, your faith has some substance from which it grows, and that substance is the hope based in the specific coming of Jesus Christ, the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, as Thessalonians says. Now, what can we do so that our hope will better produce faith? Well, you got to feed it in the Word of God, because faith still does come by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. But you have to develop a desire. You have to develop a longing, a hope. See, hope, we just call hope desired expectation. Okay? In reality, the word itself that's used 85 times in your New Testament, the word for hope, it means a good thing that you expect to happen. Okay? Expectation of something good. Expectation of some good thing. That's what hope is. In other words, do you expect Jesus to come back? Yeah, I expect it's going to happen. Every eye will see, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. It's going to happen. And I expect it to happen because the Bible said it was going to happen. In all 1,239 predictive prophecies in the Old Testament, every one of those came true. In the 578 more in the New Testament, by the time Jesus comes back, those are all going to come true. Okay? And so, yeah, I expect it to happen because God hadn't lied to us yet. And God, it's impossible for God to lie, so that's not going to happen. If he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so you expect that. So there's hope. And so we need to grow in that hope, looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus. We want him to come. There's two groups of people in the world, those that want Jesus to come back and those that don't. Have hope because it'll produce faith. But there's something else that's produced by our hope. Look up again in that same passage we read in Colossians 1. It says, we give thanks to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. In other words, the faith you have comes from hope, but so does the love you have. It comes from hope. Now, how can our desired expectation, our expectation of something good, how can that hope lead our hearts to grow in love? Hope makes you grow in love. You know, like I said, I remember standing at the end of an aisle up in Amherst, Ohio, and watching my father-in-law-to-be bring my wife down that aisle. Okay? I loved her. But I also had hope. I hoped that we'd have all this time together. I didn't know we'd have 47 years. I think that's great. Okay? But the hope that you have, the hope develops love. If you don't have hope, love doesn't develop. That's true in marriage. That's true in Christianity. If you don't have that hope that Jesus is coming back, it's hard to grow in love for him. But if you know that he's going to come back and you're going to get to see him. Now, the one that helped me the most on that, I used to have a problem with 1 John 3, verse 2, where it says, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. I thought, that's blasphemous. He dwells in unapproachable light. But it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that in verse 24, when he delivers the kingdom up to the Father, in the last enemy's defeated and the last enemy's death. It says in verse 28 that when that happens, it says he will again submit himself, subject himself to the Father so that God can be all in all, which means for all eternity, Jesus is going to humble himself. You know how Jesus walked with the disciples and he was Emmanuel, God with us? For all eternity, you get to walk with Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, just the thought of being able to, I don't even have to say anything. I just want to listen to him talk to others. I just want to see him, right? If you have that hope of wanting to see Jesus, is it easier to grow in love? Yeah. And so he says, love grows out of hope. And so we need to spend the time in the Word of God, okay, so that our hope is increased. Because when that hope's increased, then we love more. And guess what the world needs? Us loving. That's why Jesus in John 17, verse 9 said, I do not pray for the world. He says, I pray for these that you've taken out of the world. See, he needs us to be more loving. See, what the world needs most is a better us. And so if we'll be more loving, what's he say in John 13, verse 35? He says, by this will all men know you're my disciples, if you have this love one for another. And so that love is going to have to grow out of something, so it has to grow out of hope. So he says here, I want you to have do the things that will grow in hope so that you can grow in love. Now, what aspects of love can only grow from a substance of hope? See, if you have this hope, now again, it's something you want to happen. Okay, it's something really good that's going to happen, but it's also something you expect is going to happen. Okay? You know, when I come home from teaching my classes down to university, I look forward to my wife hugging me. But I also kind of expect it because she did it last time. Okay? I expect it. I expect that, but I also hope for it. Okay? When you have hope, it's easier to grow in love. That's true in relationships. That's true in your relationship with God. I expect Jesus to come back. I expect him to greet us and take us home to be with his Father. You know, he says, I'm going to prepare. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. We say mansions because we can't imagine God making a dwelling place that's a tent. Okay? But tents would be fine because the weather's perfect in heaven. But whatever. Okay? But he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so I can receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you can be also. Jesus wants to be with us. Emmanuel is who he is. That's his nature. And that's our hope. And from that hope grows love. Right? And so he says, your love springs from your hope. But there's another aspect I really like about that one. And that is the hope that develops faith, the hope that develops love, it's being laid up. It's being laid up. In the Greek, that's a participle there. It's being laid up for you in heaven. How can hope be in the process? See, when he writes this, Jesus already died. Jesus already been raised. He's already gone to heaven. He's been here for 40 days. Then he went to be with heaven. And then he sent the Holy Spirit down 10 days later in Pentecost, in Acts 2. But he's been up there for years now. And it says, your hope is being laid up for you in heaven. Because it's a participle. It's a continuing action thing. Is your hope right now in the process of being laid up for you in heaven? Yep, because Paul said it was. Okay, how? How is your hope being laid up for you in heaven? Well, the Bible does talk about something being laid up in heaven. I didn't put it on the outline, but turn back to Luke chapter 12. In Luke 12, Jesus is having this really great Bible class in the temple courtyard. Temple courtyard's huge. You can play 5 soccer games in the temple courtyard. But in Luke 12, in the middle of this Bible class, in verse 13, somebody comes up and interrupts his Bible class. This guy just kind of walks up. Here's Jesus teaching all these people in the Bible class. And this guy walks up and he says, hey, tell my brother to give me my part of the inheritance. What? I'm teaching Bible class here. He says, tell my brother, give me my part of the inheritance. Jesus says, teaching opportunity. And so he turns to class. Well, first he tells the guy, he says, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And then he turns to the class. He says, you beware of all forms of greed, all forms of covetousness. Because even when man has an abundance, his life does not consist of the things he possesses. So he tells them a story. It's called the parable of the rich fool. Remember the guy who said, I got so much stuff, I want to tear down my barns and build greater barns because there's not enough room to store all my stuff. That's the story. When he gets done with that, notice what he says in verse 32. He says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, God wants you to have the kingdom. He wants you to be with him eternally. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide for yourselves, with money bags, with purses that do not wear out, with treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Okay? He says there, he says, you can lay up your treasure in heaven. See, if you notice, when you go to funerals, there's no U-Haul van in the funeral procession because you can't take it with you. But this passage says you can send it on ahead. You can send your treasure on ahead. And the way you send your treasure on ahead is you bless people. And when you bless people, when you get to heaven, you're going to be rich in friends. Everybody's going to want to hug you. Okay? Because you blessed all these lives. Everybody wants to hug you. So you've laid up your treasure in heaven. Well, here it says you have treasure laid up in heaven. The passage we're reading in Colossians 1 says your hope is being laid up in heaven. In other words, those people you taught about Jesus, remember last summer when Ron and Debbie came in, the little people? The guy that does the coin trick a lot better than I do? Okay, that guy? Okay, he was here with his wife. Well, 30-some years ago, Kathy and I taught him, and I got to baptize him into Christ. And he's been preaching the gospel for over 30 years now. All right? But you hope that's going to happen. And then you hope that the other people you brought to Christ, you hope they're going to be there. The other people that you love, you hope they're going to. See, there's a hope that's there. That is part of your hope right now being laid up for you in heaven. Well, how does that grow faith and love? What's the next verse say here in Luke chapter 12? It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're investing the time and treasure of your, you know, all your efforts and all that you have, all your attention, if you're investing that in the kingdom of God, guess where your heart's going to be? It's going to be there. So that hope's going to produce faith. That hope's going to produce love. So that hope, it says, is being laid up for you in heaven. I thought that was a good one. So how's the substance of hope being laid up for us in heaven? I think what we read in Luke 12 is how it happened. Because as you're serving God here, that hope just grows, doesn't it? Because all those people that you taught... Now, and you're here for this? You're somebody else's hope. So, did somebody teach you about Jesus? Did somebody bring you to Christ? You're part of their hope being laid up in heaven. I just think that's neat. And when they get there, when you get there, they're going to hug you. All right? So your hope's being laid up in heaven. Now, how should our lives change when we understand that this hope is in the process of being laid up in heaven? I want everybody I know to be there, don't you? Everybody that I care about and people I don't care about yet, but I want to learn to care about them, okay? I want all those people to be there. Okay, he says, love your enemies. So we got to work on that and do good for them that despitefully use you. You know, and I'm still working on loving that because I don't feel like loving them yet, but God told me to, so I'm trying to, all right? But he says that grows out of hope. If you hope that they're going to be there, if you look forward to that being the case, that will be the case. So our lives, I would say, would grow in dedication and devotion because of that. Let's go on. Back in Colossians, I thought that was a cool sign. Okay? The gospel clearly speaks of your hope being laid up in heaven, which is what we read, that it's in the process of being laid up. Okay? But in Colossians 1, verse 5 and 6, I'm in Luke 12. Let's go back to Colossians. Don't you love bookmarks? Okay. Verse 5. It says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it's bearing fruit and growing, as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Okay? The gospel that was shared with them, they learned hope from the gospel that was shared with them. If you share the gospel with somebody else, it better have hope in it. You know, it's not about us arguing with people. Jesus didn't say argue. In fact, he says do everything without arguing and complaining. Philippians 2, verse 14. He never said, go you therefore and pin their ears to the wall. He didn't say, go and prove you're right and they're wrong, because they're wrong and you're wrong too. Only Jesus is right. And so he says, the gospel that you heard that spread to the whole world, he says that gospel is filled with hope. The hope is in there. It clearly speaks of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Now, how is the message of the gospel incomplete when you leave out hope? See, Christianity is not, I did this and I did that and I did that. It's not about following a set of rules. It's about hope. Are you saved by works or are you saved by grace through faith? Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. By grace are you saved through faith, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? And so you're saved by grace. Now, do you believe that's going to happen? Yeah. Is that a good thing? Yeah, then that's hope. Hope is believing in and expecting a good thing. The expectation of some good thing is hope. And so the message, the gospel, are you expecting Jesus to come back? Are you expecting your sins to be forgiven? Are you expecting him to take you home to glory? Yes. Are you expecting an eternal relationship with Jesus who again submits himself to the Father? Yes. That's the essence of hope. Now, how did the message of hope help the gospel spread to the whole world? Because see, notice what it says in verse 6. It says the gospel that has been spread to the whole world. Jack, I did some Bible study and they didn't even know there was a North America. They didn't even know there was an Australia. How can you say that the gospel spread to the whole world? Their world. At that time, the only world they knew was the Roman world. But the gospel spread through that. In fact, in the first two centuries of the church, the gospel made it as far as India and China. It made it way down into Egypt. Okay? The Copts in Egypt, they went way down into Egypt with the message of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel spread to their whole world. And since that time, guess what it's doing now? It's spreading to the whole world now. That's why Kathy and I go over to Uganda every November and December. Okay, that's why Charles is leaving in April to go to Zambia again, okay? Because that's our hope. We want the message, we want the gospel to run and have free course and be glorified. We want God's word to penetrate every dark corner of this world with the light of Jesus Christ. And we hope for that, okay? If you share the gospel and it doesn't have hope in it, what is it? Well, I did this and I did that. No, it's not a check mark. Okay, that's what the Pharisees had. We're not supposed to be Pharisees. Okay? So the message of hope has to be an aspect of the gospel that we share. Now, how is the message of the gospel enriched when we purposely include hope? See, when you talk to somebody about Jesus and they're just, man, I just can't, man, I'm not good enough, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be forgiven. I don't know if everything. You know, if you don't give somebody hope, what kind of relationship they have with God? They're miserable. And when they're miserable, guess what message they share? A miserable message. Hey, I don't know if I can be saved. Maybe you could. I hope it works out for you. Yeah, I don't want to become one of those Christians. You know, but if you have joy, you can spread it to somebody else. If you have hope, you can share it with somebody else. But if you don't have any hope, what message are you sharing? Well, maybe, you know, I have no chance for me. You know, Eeyore made a nice donkey and a nice story, you know, but you don't want to be Eeyore. You want to be Tigger. Okay? All right. So the message of the gospel is enriched when you purposely include hope. Guys, Jesus is coming back. Okay? Like one of my teachers, Richard Rogers, used to say, when I get to heaven, first 10,000 years, I'm just going to stand around and grin. Okay? Heaven's forever. That's what I want. You have hope. And when you have hope, then the gospel is a whole lot more attractive. If you don't have much hope in there, you don't have any gospel. Gospel's good news. All right. One more. Verses 7 and 8. those who share the gospel are also sharing the message of hope. Now, this guy that we're reading here is Epaphras. Epaphras is short for Epaphroditus. It means handsome or good looking. So it wasn't about me. It was about someone else. Okay, sorry. Obviously, it wasn't about me. Okay, he says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Epaphras is one of two people in all of Scripture that Paul calls one of his blessed fellow servants. So this guy's working, and he's working with Paul. He says, a beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Okay, Epaphras is the guy that started the church. You can find him again in chapter 4. This is the guy that started the church in Colossae. Like I said, this is the one congregation Paul writes to that he never visited. But he knows Epaphras, and he's talked with Epaphras, and Epaphras has been helping Paul out where he is, stuck in prison. And so he knows Epaphras, and he's worked with him so much that he calls him a fellow servant, a fellow soldier. Okay, he's working with him for the cause, but he also calls him a minister. The word minister, that the word here, diakonos, is used minister, 5 times is translated by the English word deacon. 17 times is translated minister, like here, and over 70 times it's translated by the word servant. That's why you call me Jack instead of using some title. There's no Reverend Peter, Father Paul, or Pastor Luke. We're just servants. Okay? And so he's a servant. And he says, Epaphras is a minister for you. But when he shared the message with you, the message he shared with you had hope. And he shared with us about your love and about your faith. That's what he just wrote about in verses 3-5. So what other actions accompany our sharing of the hope of the gospel? Because when Epaphras shared that message with them, he also turns around and he shares their love and their faith with Paul. Now, when he does that, that gives Paul hope, doesn't it? Because the people that, you know, he shared the word of God with, they shared it with others, and they shared it with others, and now all these people in Corinth and Colossae are just growing in Christ. That's what you want to happen. Now, why would sharing the hope of Jesus lead us to share stories of faith and love? See, because of the hope that he shared in the message with the church in Colossae, he turns around and he says, hey, Paul, let me tell you about these guys in Ephesus. Oh, we got Philemon and his son and his wife. They've got a group of Christians meeting in their home. And so he shares all this stuff. He shares all these stories of love and hope with Paul. And just, here's Paul in prison, stuck in prison in Rome. And don't you think he's glad to hear the stories? Oh, yeah. And so he shares this good news about Christians. See, when you go away on vacation this summer and you meet with a bunch of Christians wherever you are, because you're going to do that when you're going on vacation, okay, because you want to commune with God's people all over the world. Okay, so when you're communing with them, while you talk to them, you talk about how their Bible class went and what they had this. If you learn something really good that they're doing, come back and share it with us. When you hear good news about them, you'll share with us. And while you're there, share with them some good things going on here. Say, yeah, our food pantry, we gave away 124,000 pounds of groceries last year. Whoa. Okay? And we're doing all the, and we're serving as, you share the good news that you have with them so that they have hope, and then you share what they're doing with the people here. That's what Epaphras did. Epaphras shared things that built hope. So, the lesson this morning, it's pretty simple. We need to grow in our faith and our love that spring from a solid hope. Well, if it springs from a solid hope, you need to have a solid hope. Do you look forward to Jesus coming back? Do you expect it to happen? Is that a good thing that you expect to happen? I expect that to happen. I believe Jesus coming back more than I believe the sun's coming up tomorrow. Because he could come back this afternoon. It won't come up tomorrow. Okay? So he's coming back. Have hope. Grow in your hope. And your hope is not just in the fact that he's coming back. Your hope is in the fact that he's going to save you. And that he has already saved you and will continue to save you more fully. See, in Romans chapter 5, It says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't save you because you were worth saving. He didn't save me because I was worth saving, because I wasn't. I know me. But he loves me the way I am. But he doesn't. He loves me so much he doesn't want to leave me the way I am, so he's making me more like Jesus. He's doing the same thing with you. Now, do you have that hope in you? Then that's the hope that's going to produce the faith. That's the hope that's going to produce the love. That's why we're talking about hope this year so far. So how could a clear hope help your faith grow? See, if you know Jesus coming back, you want everybody you know to be a Christian. You want to spend more time reading the Word of God. You want to spend more time talking to him in prayer because you know Jesus coming back. I want to be better acquainted with him. See, we were talking in Bible class this morning. When Jesus was a 12-year-old boy in a temple, why is he sitting around a temple? Because he found out that God was his father, and he figures these guys should know more about my father than anybody else on earth. So he's asking them all questions, and they're amazed by his questions in Luke chapter 2. So how could a stronger hope help you grow in love? Not just grow in faith, but grow in love. In marriage, you got to have hope if you want to grow in love. And Jesus is the head of the body of the church, that he might present the body. He gave himself up for that he might present it unto himself without spot or blemish. And so if you want to grow in love for Jesus, you go to it with hope. And that hope will help you grow in love in your marriage. It'll help you grow in love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll help you grow in love for God. So what are you doing so your hope will grow? You got to have a hope that's sure. Sure and steadfast. We're going to talk later in Hebrews 6. Your hope is an anchor for the soul. Hebrews 6, verse 19. What's your hope anchored in? We talked last week. It's in the bedrock of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from dead. Because he was raised, we know all this other stuff's going to happen because he was raised and a whole bunch of people saw him. So, push the wrong button. Hope it's working. Yay. Okay. What will help your hope to be more real? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. If you look in the Word of God, you're going to see things that help you not just grow in faith, but grow in your hope so that faith and love will spring from that hope. And so there, and also in your relationships, if I'm busy doing the will of God, I have more things for that to hope to grow. Like he said in Luke 12, you lay up treasure in heaven, and your hope is laid up in heaven. And that's why it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want your heart in heaven? Then put your treasure there. You want your heart with God? Then you put your treasure there. Now, how clearly can you see your hope being laid up in heaven? Do you see it happening? When I see people growing in Christ, it just makes my day. If I got to teach somebody about Jesus and they're growing in Christ, I love it. John said in 3 John verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He says, I got hope. My hope's being laid up in heaven. Is your hope being laid? Do you teach people about Jesus? You love them into the kingdom of God. You bless their lives so that they're more like Jesus, and your hope's being laid up in heaven. Now, how much hope is present in the gospel you share? Oh, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and if you don't do this, this happens. If you don't... That's the way the Pharisees talked. We're not supposed to be Pharisees. That's religion. Jesus didn't come to make you religious. The religious people already had that going. The Pharisees and Sadducees had religion down to a science before he got here. He says, I came that you could have life and have it abundantly. He says, I'm not going to give you 15 new rules. Hey, these are better than Moses. He says, no, I want you to follow me. You don't follow a set of rules. You follow Jesus. We are Christ followers. And that's our hope. He is our hope. He is our hope. And his coming, is consequently, is our hope. So when you share the gospel, is there much hope in it? When you respond to the gospel, are you responding with much hope in it? So I got a question. How can we help? If you're not yet in Jesus, I can't save you. You can't save you. Jesus can save you. He wants you to surrender yourself to him, to die to your old life, to be buried with him by baptism into death, and to rise to walk in a new life. If we can help you in that, we call you. We don't want you to be this kind of Christian or that kind of Christian. We don't have a corner on the market here. We want you to follow Christ. Like I told him over in Newark 43 years ago when I was at Licking Memorial Hospital. So you a minister? I said, yeah. He said, well, what religion are you? I said, I'm Christian. What kind of Christian are you? I said, most of them are happy Christian. I'm just Christian. I don't want to be one kind or another kind. I just want to follow Christ. That's what I want you to do. That's why in Africa, you know, we've been preaching these last two winters over there. 18 different churches. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Holiness, everything. I said, guys, we're supposed to just be one. We're supposed to lay aside all of our doctrines and just follow Jesus. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come to have more hope in Christ while we stand, while we sing.